I wonder what this podcast is about.
Hello. Did you click on this podcast? Well, this is what's going to happen. Hi, I'm Fernando, and this podcast is me and an awesome guest.
And me.
Not you.
Oh my.
Everybody stop, jeez.
The heck is going on?
And our guests.
This guy's tripping.
We'll be reviewing shows from Netflix because we all got to know what to watch next, right?
Well, in this podcast, you'll see if you should get a certain clicks.
A try. From me and my critics.
Huh. See what I did there?
This guy just had a throw
up on him. Here we go. Starting in three.
Well, two.
This is for one.
Very cool.
Flicks Critics.
Hello, everyone. Fernando here again, and you're on Flicks Critics. Today, we have a hip-hop artist who just released his newest album called Welcome to Forever, Arkham. So what's up, man? What's good?
Hey, what's up, Fernando? How's things going?
Dude, things are going good, and we're in the green phase. So you know what that means. It's time to go out and party and grab that camera and start running.
Woo!
Oh, my gosh. And I bet, what's new, dude? What's going on?
Things have been good, just using this time to my advantage, trying to work on some things. You know, I'm actually going to say I've been concepting music. I actually don't have any new music at the moment, but I've been working on videos, new projects, new business endeavors with merchandise. So it's been a good opportunity to kind of step back and look at some different avenues to go to. So it's been nice to be able to have the time to put in that extra grind. So it's been good.
Heck yeah, man. So during this quarantine, have you been like, you know, do you have any songs that are coming pretty soon? Because you've been working on, I've also been seeing you doing some covers too. So are you thinking about, actually, that's another question actually. Are you thinking about doing like a cover album or something? Because I've been seeing you doing like a lot of Linkin Park and, you know, stuff like that. So are you like slowly hopping into rock or?
You know, that's the thing. It's like when I set out to do music, you know, hip hop was, I guess growing up was never my first choice. So, I mean, there's so many things I'd like to experiment with music. You know, I love the rock scene. By far, I love acoustic music, like is one of my top genres. Like it could compete with anything that I listen to. So I've always wanted to make an acoustic album. So, no spoiler, non-spoiler, I guess that is a project that's in the works. So yeah, there'll be a couple covers, there'll be a couple originals, there'll be a couple covers of my own songs made into acoustic versions. So yeah, it's kind of cool to get to experiment. I've seen a lot of artists. Shout out to MGK, Machine Gun Kelly. I know I've seen a lot of his.
Yeah, he's been doing. He did a song with what's his name? He has that weird face. His name.
Youngblood.
Thank you. Yes, Youngblood. Yeah. Youngblood. Oh my gosh, people are always downing him. People are always downing MGK. Oh, he's doing a rock album. I'm like, nah, man. If you ask me, he's more of a rock artist than he is of a hip hop artist. If you ask me, he's not that bad.
No, yeah. I mean, he's got a very special skill set that you don't see, and I think a lot of people kind of take for granted. He's a full round musician. Like, he's not just hip hop. He just doesn't hop on a beat and that's it. I mean, he'll go play guitar, he'll go play drums. I've had friends of mine who've seen him live in concert go from hip hop and then jump back, do the drums, jump on the guitar, and then sing a rock cover. And it's like, okay, this dude knows music. So like, to be able to take advantage, especially what he was doing, like his quarantine videos, you know, I thought, oh, hey, these songs mean something to me. You know, I don't share a whole lot of, I guess, singing, like a lot of live videos, I guess. So I'm like, you know what? I'll dip my foot in this. And I've gotten a really good positive response. And it allows me to connect with fans too. And that's a big one. It's like, I don't want people just to think like, oh, I'm just kind of disappeared. And then you kind of lose interest. It's like, no, I'm here. If you guys want to just literally just chat, you know, check out music, listen to music, vibe out, you know, that's the beautiful thing about it. So try to just keep busy, try to engage with people. Cause it's like, you know, it's like a family. So, and I know you got to feel the same way. It's like your second family.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's not like you're promoting content for yourself. And like, I mean, in a way, like it helps you relieve your stress, but it's also like, you want to share it with the world. It's like, people always think like whatever we believe and dream inside our minds, like it's supposedly kept in there, but like, no, knowledge that we gain is meant to be shared. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
whatever you believe and what makes you happy, you want to share with the world. And then especially when you get a response back, like, oh my gosh, that was so cool. That was so beautiful. How do you do that? It's like, that's like, that right there makes it like, you don't even care. I mean, of course, everyone needs money, but you don't at that right there, like, you don't even care about the money. It's like, that right there is what makes you love what you do. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And once you love what you do, it's like you're just enjoying what you do. Like, time goes by faster. You know, you're sitting down just kind of just goofing off, but having a good time with your work. And, you know, 5-6 hours go by and you're like, oh, I didn't even realize.
Right. Exactly. Especially, but like, if some people like struggle, especially I give you props in hip hop scene, because dude, like, hip hop is like, it's really hard to get into the hip hop scene. Like, I give you props for, like, you've developed, like, really quick from the last time we talked. Like, you developed really quick. And so, like, I'm really impressed by, like, how much you developed in yourself. And it's actually inspiring on how much you developed yourself in, like, I believe it's been two years.
Mm-hmm.
So you've come a long way, man.
I really appreciate that. That does mean a lot. It's just being a real student, you know, really learning proper technique. And really, once... if you have that passion and, you know, people, you're going to have friends, family, and say, oh, you're really good and this and that. And you're like, thank you. So you use that motivation. You use that that bit of praise and success, but don't get complacent with it. Keep learning. Keep harnessing your technique. Keep practicing and really sharpening. Because every project, and I know you're the same way, with everything you put out, you got to look at it as like, okay, how can I make it better the next time around? How am I going to top myself? So, I mean, you kind of almost have to, like, go into a shell, go into a certain, like, mode and just kind of dial yourself in, maybe take a step back, look at everything from a different perspective, and then jump right back in and be like, okay, I got to do things fresh. I got to do things different. I just got to keep improving. I got to keep growing. So, and it's good to challenge yourself, too, you know, to really push out of that comfort zone and, you know, and most of the times a beautiful thing is going to come out of it. And then you're going to look back and thought, wow, you know, how did I ever think I could never do this? Like, once I stepped out, couple months, couple years go by and you're like, wow, I mean, I do this in my sleep now. Like it's no big deal. And I'm not to something bigger. So it's all about that, but I really do appreciate that. That does mean a lot.
And also a quick, you're welcome, by the way, but also another question before we get into the podcast, I have a quick question. A lot of people who are in this industry, like, it's so easy to give up, because what people don't realize is that you have to sacrifice a lot, especially when it comes financially, to be in this business. So what would you say is your drive to keep going?
My drive, I really love helping people. I really love being that person, you know. I've had people reach out to me, a specific one on Instagram. I had just met him, just kind of just going through Instagram. He followed me, checked out my stuff, and he's like, bro, you know, your music really, like, speaks to me. And I was like, wow, that really meant a lot. And a couple months goes by, and he's telling me about a situation that, you know, kind of got screwed over a little bit by his girl. And he was just kind of talking to me. He's like, but your music helped me get through it. Like, and that's the moments that, like, hit you. It's like, wow, you know, somebody at a really down time picked you to listen to because you inspire them. And that just kind of, once you really ponder that and think, there's millions of artists out there, but this person, you made a special relationship with them to say, you know what, he's gone through it and his music's helping me get to a better place. So that alone really is a motivating factor. And, you know, I want my family to be proud of me. I hope that someday I can take care of my family and really make a big career out of this to help them. But I want to do it the right way. It's like, a lot of people get where they want to get by cheating people, by lowering their standards, but just not being themselves. And it really just hurts them in the end. I mean, how many artists do we see, like, that have drug addiction, that has alcoholism addiction, broken families, you know, they can't even live a normal life because they have to hide. So it's like, so that, those are, like, my two biggest factors. I want to be able to take care of my family, and, you know, I want to be able to inspire people. And it means a lot, and it's truly a passion for me. Like, this is something that I enjoy. I can't go a day without thinking about it. Like, I'm always trying to think, what can I do to keep growing? what can I do to put myself in a better position financially? And, you know, just as a human being and an artist to flourish, for people to be proud and say, you know what, that's my cousin, or, you know what, that's my brother, that's my son. Just people to be proud, you know, give them something to be proud of, and to, you know, leave a good legacy for my family's name.
Right. You know, that's, you have really good, values in what you do, man. I really appreciate that, because it's easy, especially how much passion you have for it, because it's easy, like, especially when it has been so long, like, it's so easy to just, like, you know what, I just don't even want to do this anymore, because I'm not going anywhere. It's like, you still have that motivation, so, like, I really appreciate that, man.
And it seems like when stuff like that happens, you know, when you just get kind of unmotivated, something usually happens. Maybe somebody reaches out, or maybe a new accomplishment you reach kind of happens at the right time. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'm super down, but then something gets you back up. And that's what I really appreciate with you as well, being able to form a friendship, is because you're a real down to earth guy. You grind, like, you know, very few people that I've seen. You value what you do. You value, you know, just good morals. Like, you're just good people that does good work. And it's hard to find that. So, I mean, it's nice to be able, you know, when you're down, to see that people that you admire, look up to, doing well. And then, like, doing this podcast, being able to just kind of just vibe off each other, hang out, and, you know, BS about a Netflix show. But you know what? That's the fun part about this, you know. People you meet, the friendships you make, you know, it's just a lot of fun. But yeah, I really admire that about you too.
Oh, dude, I appreciate that, man. Really do. Cause like, it is hard. It really is hard though. But like, if you, after like how many years, dude, you can't, like, it's too late to give up now. Like, you can't, there's like no turning back. And like, it's not that I don't want to, like, that's the point. It's like, it's like when someone puts their all into something for so long, and they all of a sudden give up. I can't comprehend that. Like, how can you put so many years into something and all of a sudden you just drop it?
Yeah, it's like all the time, the all effort, the money that you've put in, you know, the really, like, because after a certain point, you start to like have fans that are like, man, I'm excited for your new stuff. Like, you almost feel like indebted to them. And so, like, I've never understood that either. That's a good point. Like, how do you just walk away? What in your life changed that said, right, hey, this is my time to walk away? It's like, you know, if it's something for your health, you know, that takes a lot of courage. So props to you. But yeah, I've never understood it either.
Yeah, because I've seen so many people do that so many times, it just blows my mind. But yeah, we got really deep before we got into the talk of the show. But yeah, so like, so for today, we're going to be talking about a well-known Netflix series called Mindhunters. And for those that don't know what Mindhunters is about, Mindhunters is about two FBI agents and one psychiatrist. The two FBI agents are Holden Ford and Bill Tench, and the psychiatrist is Wendy Carr, where they travel around interviewing the darkest minds, also known as serial killers, to have a better understanding of why they do what they do, through interviews to help build a profile, most importantly, catch them before they do it again. Now, Arkham, when you saw the first episode, what did you think about? What did you think about it?
So one thing right off the bat I did appreciate was actually the amount of content that they showed. Like, you know, right off the bat, I think in the first, like, 2-3 minutes of the show, you see, no spoilers, but basically you see somebody commit suicide and you see him, like, fully naked in like the first 3 minutes of the show. So if you're like walking into this cold, you're like, wow, you know, maybe this isn't the best for my like 10-year-old to watch.
Right.
But with the kind of show that this is, I really did appreciate like that content. Like, it just made it more real. But to be totally honest, other than that though, I just felt like at first the show kind of started slow. Like, it took a little bit to catch my attention in the first episode. It took a little bit of work, but after so long, you start to see where the show's going. You start to see the characters that they're building with. It's like, oh, okay, you know, this is intriguing. So it's when you get to episode 2, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little later, that's when you really get hooked, in my opinion.
Right, man. When I say this all the time in the podcast, like, I actually started out as a psych major. And, like, when I saw this, like, that was the main thing that we always talked about in psychology. And when I saw the, like, this is based like before, like, people even, they didn't even have the name of what it was called. They didn't have no call these people. And so, like, you have to understand, like, at that time, they didn't have, like, being able to do fingerprints and be able to have the technology that we have to catch them faster. So, any, actually, you can get away with anything back in the day when it comes to that type of stuff. They didn't understand, like, how certain things happen, because I think it's because, like, not only could they find them or figure them out, but it's kind of hard to believe that a human being could do that to another human being. And it was almost like possibly like we were in denial. Like, we were trying to, I don't know, it was like hidden underneath the rug. And plus, you have to understand, like, they were really sneaky back then. And, like, especially how they showed each person they interviewed, like, they all had a similar profile, very, very, like, well spoken. Especially, what's that dude's name that they showed? I think you know about the one when he, like, killed his, like, parent and, like, the whole, like,
Ed?
Ed Kemper, I think it's the name.
Yeah.
And, like, they showed him, and it was like, ooh, like, it really got me hooked on it, too.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, that dude, when they introduced him, he was so polite. He seemed very brilliant. And, you know, just, like, to think about that, because it was, like, different times back then. Like, we think about that now, we can kind of fathom it, but back then, that was not a norm, like, by any means. So, I mean, when people found these kind of things out, like, it really struck people, because nobody ever thought that this could be possible, especially from a dude like him. But yeah, it's now my question to you: which character did you appreciate the most from as much as we've seen so far? Which character really stuck with you the most?
Okay, Holden Ford, and the reason why is because, like, he practically came up with the idea, and Bill Tench was like, "Ah, this is bullshit." Then all of a sudden, he got Bill Tench into it when they met Ed Kemper, and then, like, he kept fighting for it, even though no one believed in him. And, like, but the thing is, the one thing I respect Holden for, but now it's like, it's almost, you haven't watched it, you haven't seen it long enough yet, but, like, it's almost like he becomes, like, very numb after a while. And I think it's because, like, being around them and studying them for so long, it's like he almost, like, replicated. Like, now he doesn't really go violent. He doesn't go violent, but it's just, like, his personality, like, it starts to change a bit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, by the end of the third episode, kind of the dialogue he was having with his girlfriend, I'm like, this dude seems like he's kind of spiraling and doesn't really know it. Like, the way he's just talking, the way he's, like, locked in on this is all he can think about. I'm like, this just seems like he's, like you said, he's kind of adapting that personality without the violence behind it. But that personality, that kind of just, like, cold, like, that persona, he's kind of adapting. So, yeah, I totally get what you mean on that.
Right. But, like, other than that, dude, like, I respect him and what he does and how much he put – how much passion he had for what he did. Do you think of the world differently after seeing this?
You know, actually a little bit, because the way, like, that they painted, especially Ed, the background that he had that kind of led him down the path that he took, like, I get what he did was extremely vile.
Right.
But the lifestyle that he grew up in, and, you know, he was even saying, it's like, I grew up in, like, a normal suburban home, you know, a mom, you know, pets, this and that. Like, what people would think a traditional family, especially at that time, was all the stuff that happened behind closed doors really formed him into this monster. So, you know, it's hard, because part of you is like, you understand where he's coming from and you sympathize, but then you're like, wait, you know, take a step back from it and still look at the whole picture. What he did was so vile and so bad. It's like, it's hard to even feel those emotions, but at the same time you do. So it's like, you do gain a new perspective. You gain an appreciation for kind of, I guess, at least letting people explain their story. Like, if they're genuine, let them explain their story more. So yeah, I did gain a little bit more perspective on the world from really watching these few episodes.
Do you think, like, possibly, like, they still exist?
Oh, I'm sure that they do, but it's like what you were saying about that, you know, they didn't have the technology back then. It's a lot harder. So you got to wonder, like, how much have they stepped like their game up to hide?
Right.
Like how much, and the scary thing is like in the show, Ed, he let them find him.
Like, right.
Imagine, is that the case now? Is like the only way that they're going to find some of these people is if they're like, yeah, I'm kind of over, you know, this, I'm kind of bored almost, like here I am, like this is what I've done, you know, come and get me. And it's like, are people really out there right now that are like, there's no way, there, you'll never catch me unless I let you catch me? And that's kind of scary to think about. So it's like, yeah, you got to wonder what they've done to like step their game up to hide and keep all this a secret. So, and I'm a very big guy into conspiracies and secrets, and you know, so I'm sure there's out there, and who knows in like how high a place is either. So that's something to think about too.
It's a shame though, because like there's such like, I don't mean to like brag about them, but they're so like high minded, like very very intelligent people. Like it feels like, mm-hmm. it's a waste at like how much they throw like their life away over something like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. So I just wish that like they would use it for good, because they have so much potential, but it's like they decided to just go mad. So
yeah.
But like there's two seasons, but like I'm really excited for season three though. The thing is, like, season two came out 2 years ago, I believe. So,
really?
Yeah. So season three, I'm not sure what's going on, because right now they're on the rails because, like, the director of Mindhunters, he wanted to let go of his actors so that they can do other things, because he was working on a project. But because mm-hmm. of that, it was there, the other actors were on hold, so he released them from their contracts so they can do other things. So now it's on hiatus. Because season three was supposed to be done.
Really?
Yeah, it was supposed to be done, but like they're on it's on hiatus now. Especially now, like of course they couldn't go back to it now because everything in the film industry has been on hold.
Oh yeah, everything's getting delayed now.
Yeah, it sucks though, because especially when it comes to you musicians too. Like, you can't go on tour right now, but thankfully there's Facebook Live, so that shouldn't have really stopped you that much. But when it comes to making money in general, half the times, the only way to make money as a musician is like through merch or touring. Thanks to Spotify. Yeah,
once you dive into those numbers and really see like where the money comes from musicians, and then top it off with this pandemic, you're like, yeah, if you don't have a lot of money already, it's going to be a struggle, like a big, big struggle.
Right. So that's what I was saying. Like, props to you, dude.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, because I think the number I was like looking at it, I think it was like 12% of the money that musicians make is actually from like royalties and streams. Like the rest is like touring and merch. Like that, it's like, yeah, that's super super low. Like the thing, because
right.
I mean, like, not to get off topic, but real fast, like if you do the math, like if you sell an album on like iTunes or Apple for like $10. For an independent musician, I think you're only getting like maybe a couple dollars, if that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like got contracts or stipulations with producers, you know, for their cut, you might not even make much of anything. Like that's why streams are so big right now. And even streams like on Spotify are like 0.006 like cents. Mm-hmm. Like it takes a lot of time. Like it's a lot of work. It's a lot of grinding to try to build up a fan base, because it takes a while to really start seeing the money kick in, unless you're touring or doing well in the merch area. That's why it's like so important, especially with what you do, to diversify what you do, be able to do so many different things. Like that helps out so much.
Yeah, because like you can't just have one source of income, because especially at this point, like you have to have multiple sources of income, because if you just sit there and do nothing, like that's it. Or at least even try to get something out there so that people can know that like you still exist, because it's so easy to like just disappear and then people wonder, where's Arkham? Where did he go? You know?
Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to find some money to release a new project, because I mean, most projects, I think the last couple for me, I mean, they're ranging in probably all is said and done. You know, you're looking at high four figures, maybe low five figures for like 7 to 10 songs. To do it right. Yeah. So you think about that. It's not just, hey, cause I don't want to put out music that only a couple people are going to hear. I want it to be able to reach enough people, you know, to justify. I've never been a big dude like in the music scene. I feel like I owe music. Music doesn't owe me. I'm not going to flood the market. I want to make something that I appreciate, you know, each song is like a work of art. I want to make sure that it's up to my standards. You know, there'll be songs you don't like when you go back and listen to them, but at least the concept, the idea, you know, and even somewhat the execution. Yeah. I can get behind that. So many artists are like dropping music all the time. It's like, dude, we've got enough in the market. Like, give me something like you've really worked on. Give me like a real piece of you, not just something to keep you relevant kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Good for you though, because you're still going on strong. So congrats on a new place, by the way, too. I saw that you got a new place too.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of grinding to try to pay off some bills to be able to really live on my own.
Yeah, and, man.
It's been nice. It's been a nice transition.
Nice, man. But yeah, like when it comes to, I didn't get to ask you this. So what would you say is your favorite character in Mindhunters?
Oh, gosh. If I had to choose like a favorite character now, I don't know. I would probably say, because we were talking about this a little bit earlier, probably like I'd probably say Bill, but with the dynamic that those two have, that like if you could do that together as a character, their dynamic as a 1-2 combo between him and what's his name one more time? I don't know why I keep forgetting his name.
Ford?
Yes. Those two together, that dynamic is special. Now, the character I've learned the most from, definitely Ed, like right off the bat, Ed, because you see like a different perspective, you know, behind, you know, a serial killer. You learn a lot and you hear the story. And that's why I appreciated like as much like graphicness in this show, because it lets a character like Ed really like express himself. So like, I'd probably say like, he's definitely the character I've learned the most from. I don't necessarily know if he's my favorite, but he's one of my favorites.
Especially, and also, I give props to the actor too, because he actually won an Academy Award. Because if you were to watch the real live interview of Ed Kemper and compare it to the actor, dead on, like the same tone of voice, the same properness, same posture, and it was scary close.
Really? I did not know that.
It's almost like how Heath Ledger was to the Joker. It's like he was too into his character. Now, he didn't lose his mind.
He didn't lose
He didn't lose his mind, but like he actually, it was like dead on close. And I appreciate actors who, because it takes, you have to have a strong mind to have to act as if you're a psychopath, because you have to learn how to shut your emotions down, how to make your normality and turn it into madness and become that exact character. And then once you set, try not to take that with you. Like once you're on set, that's where it stays. It's so easy to, it's like after like people do method acting. And so, like, they try to act in the real world and on set, like, it gets really confusing. Like, it's so easy to just, like, slip out and just lose your mind.
Oh, I bet.
Especially, like, the person that played, I forget his name. That's why he's not on American Horror Story anymore. He's, like, the young teen actor that he was in almost every single American Horror Story episode, except for the recent one. He dropped it because he kept playing, like, the insane character almost every single time. He's like, you know what? I love this show, but I have to leave because I'm starting to lose myself into it. And he's like a kind spirited person. He doesn't like playing like someone that's mad all the time or crazy. So he wants to move on to things. So like, I give props to them, man.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, like, to think about, like, people that are able just to flip that switch for acting, especially when they're, like, polar opposites. Like, the character you're playing is, like, totally different from you. And it's hard. I can see why people, like, lose themselves in some roles, because there's a lot of work, a lot of prep time that goes into, like, a movie for these actors and actresses. Like, it's a long process, and you really, like, listening to this and like listening to like Ledger and his story, like you do gain like a new sense of respect for what they do. Like, it's really an art form.
Exactly. Especially like, I don't know if you saw this, what is it called? Extremely Wicked and Shockingly Evil and Vile.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
was,
I've heard of that.
Yeah. That was the whole like Zac Efron who played, Ted Bundy.
So have you seen that? I have not seen that yet, but I've been super intrigued by it.
You know, it's not about, it doesn't talk about like what it doesn't show like what he did. It's more like how it went into trials and his love life. Mm-hmm. So it's more like through his girlfriend's perspective instead of through Ted Bundy's perspective. So they changed it that way, and they show like how romantic he was, how kind he was. And then like, because when you look at him and see how he acted, like, which Zac Efron did a good job, by the way, but like, it's really like, it's kind of sad because like, it, in a way, like even like I was listening to the documentary and it was almost like he actually did care for the family, but he was mm-hmm. just sick and he couldn't, it's almost like he actually tried to control himself, but he just couldn't. He just kept doing what he did to the, which I can't understand, like someone, which Ted Bundy, like, out of every serial killer, like, he's one of those one of those scariest ones, because like, that dude was really good looking. He was in school to be a lawyer, very, very kind, gave to his community. He was like the one person in your neighborhood that you would trust your kids around.
Yeah, and little do you know.
Exactly. Like, it's ridiculous. And he was a charmer too. Like, all the ladies loved him because he was so...
Oh, oof. Yeah, that's a big oof.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So like, stuff like makes you wonder, like, who can you trust? Because like, it's almost like to the point, like for example, I don't know if you saw the series You. That's a
yep, fact. Yep, yep.
Yeah, it's like someone so kind and someone so intellectual, you never know like what goes on behind closed doors, and it's like, especially yeah. when it goes up in the head. So
yeah,
it makes you wonder, like, who can you truly trust, you know?
Yeah. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you, I guess that's a two-part question. Would you recommend Mindhunters to people, for people to watch? And what was your biggest takeaway from it?
Now, when you mean takeaway, what do you mean by that?
Like, what was the, like, the maybe the biggest thing you learned? Maybe it's about specifically the story. Maybe it's about, like, the method acting with Ed.
Okay. Okay.
Just, like, what was, like, the biggest thing that stuck in your mind, like, if you once you put down the remote?
So, I would recommend Mindhunters to people who are into, like, a psychological thrill, because it's not really a gory thrill. It's more like a psychological crime thrill. So if you like the series Dexter, I don't know if you heard about that, you would
like
Mindhunters. So, and the biggest takeaway that got me was like, it was so, it's not like I'm fascinated by them, but it's just really interesting, like, to see how they think, and like, because their mindset is totally different from the norm. Like, mm-hmm. and plus like, they have no whatsoever the ability to have empathy. So because of that, because in my theory, it's almost like they're above, they're like, their mindset is above a normal person because of them having that switch turned off permanently in their empathy. They have no mm-hmm. fear. And so when it comes to, like, let's say you want to apply for a high-end job, they will look over them because they seem so confident, they're well-spoken, and, you know, they're able to suck in so much information in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
When it came, like, I remember, like, when it came to studying for the test, like, he only had to study for the test, like, for a moment, for it to be a lawyer, like, and he got it really quick. And so it's like, it's stuff like that. Like, how are they able to, like, suck in so much information that quick.
You know? I know. It's like unfathomable.
Yeah, exactly. So it like makes you like, it intrigued me to watch it more because it's like, how were they able to like build a profile to like, you have to scratch your freaking mind to go from location to location, location just to study these.
Oh yeah.
Notorious celebrities, I guess you can say, especially yeah. with the whole, you haven't gotten to there, but like the whole like Charlie Manson thing, like, yeah, oh my God.
They've been teasing that, and I'm like, I'm waiting to see how they go into that.
Dude, that dude is scary close to Charlie Manson. It's not even funny. And fun fact, actually, Charlie Manson's only 5 foot. Was only 5 foot.
Really?
Yeah. So he was only 5 foot. So that's a fun fact. He just looks like he was tall, but really, he was only a 5 foot guy. And so, like, they go in depth, like, on how he was able to manipulate the minds of those like normal little kids and the dude, because in reality he never killed a person, he just told, he convinced other people to kill other people. And so like that right there, it makes you wonder, like, how is a mind like that able to, because if you heard freaking Charlie Manson, that dude is stupid and ridiculously crazy. I don't know how someone could be so honorable and listen to someone like that, because like the things that he said, it was like, how do you like make that your leader? Like, it's like, you really want to laugh at the guy. You sound like a freaking comedian, you know, the way you talk, like, it's ridiculous, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was so, but I, and all in all, like, what would you rate this series?
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, or like,
yeah, 1 to 10.
I'm gonna give it right now because I haven't seen more of it. And I would probably say from here it would go up. I'd probably give it a 7 from a few episodes. Okay. Some of the dialogue I felt like especially between the two FBI agents, some of their quips were like really like fast, like back and forth, like almost like too fast. I was like, okay, you know, some of it just felt rushed, but overall, I like where the story is going. I would recommend it to somebody and say, you know what, just from, you know, episodes 2 and 3, like I say, if you are into, like you said, a psychological thriller, I would definitely check it out. So I would definitely recommend it. I'd give it a solid 7 right now. What about you?
Oh, I gave it a 10 because I've seen the whole 2 seasons. It was ridiculous. Like, I got 2 into it. I was like, holy crap, where the is season 3?
What the hell? Then I'm gonna finish it, and then I'll let you know what my what my new number is. Then,
yeah, man, it's really freaking good. It does get a little bit sad though after a while, but like, it is such an amazing series. Like, they actually filmed around here in Pittsburgh for the series.
Oh, no kidding, really?
Yeah, and so like a lot of people that I know, they're actually in the series. Like my one friend, I believe her name is Haley. Like, she was saying, yeah, I was in the classroom scene. I was like, holy crap, no way.
Really? So, oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, and like, apparently she was, like, in the classroom scene in the first episode.
Oh, no kid. Oh, wow. Okay, that yeah. I might just have to go back and try to check that out then.
Yeah, I know a friend of mine, Jessica Buckman, she was part of the crew, too, where she's a well-known, she's really, shout out to you, Jessica Buckman, if you're listening, like, she's a very, very down to earth, like very, very well driven young woman. Like, she was telling me that she was on that, and I was like, "Holy crap! Lucky you!" Granted, because like at the time I didn't know Mindhunters existed until recently, and so I've been hearing about it, and then all of a sudden I was like, "You know what? I'm just gonna give it a try." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'm obsessed." So this is a good series.
Yeah, it's almost like how did my life like exist before I knew about this like good show? It's like, how did exactly. What did I do before this?
Right. And the only reason why I like it too is because like interesting, like to study mindsets like that. I know I always say that, but it's just like people like that, like, do I support it? Hell no. But yeah. Like, it's just interesting, like, to see how their minds work. And also, they all have a pattern. Each one has to have their own type of pattern and profile for their victims.
Yep.
And it's so it makes you wonder, like, is psychopathy almost like another type of OCD? You know, you have to do the same thing over and over and over and over. Otherwise, like, and you always have to have order too.
That's a very good point. I never really looked at it like that, but I definitely could see it being as a form of like OCD.
And plus, they also like a lot of them, like not a lot of psychopaths these days, they weren't born that way. They were developed that way. Like some people now, in my theory, it's possible. Yes, some people are born where there's that part of the brain where like there it doesn't function. That there's a part of the brain that makes you like have emotions, and some people are born where that part of the brain doesn't work.
Yeah.
But then other people, they're formed that way because like they've gone so much drama. Like a lot of the, if you look at their profiles, they've gone through a lot of drama causing them to whatever drama that they went through from that person from the past, that mm-hmm. becomes their profile. And whenever they see someone like that in the world, it causes a trigger to make them want to kill them or cause harm to them because that's what hurt them in the past. Because it's all about like wanting control, because whatever happened to them in the past, they were like low and they want to have full control. So it causes them, okay, if I hurt one of them people, I'll have full control and not be hurt again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But some of them is just like, screw it, I just want to hurt somebody, which it blows my mind how someone can think like that. So
yeah, I know the things that they do just to be able to like go through events like that. I'm like, I could never even like fathom like doing 2% of what they do. And like, I mean, you have to have like very thick skin, you know, very like thick stomach. I mean, some of the things that they do, God, I could never even like imagine.
Exactly. But yeah, man, do you have any final words about this?
Well, really, I'm excited to check out the rest of it. I'm sure that I'll finish season one here within the next week. And, I'm excited to see like where this goes.
And also quick, before we shut off, like where can we find your music, by the way?
So you can find it, majority on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. I was about to say YouTunes. I don't know why. Tidal, Deezer, any places like that. So a place you can't find, SoundCloud, not on SoundCloud, just, you know, reasons. I believe Pandora, iHeartRadio as well, Google, Amazon, you know, all the big stores.
Nice, man. I can't wait to hear more music from you, man, because I heard your new album, man, and I was like, I was jamming that in my car. It's not even funny.
Hell yeah, that's what I like to hear. I'm excited to hear your music too. I heard the one track you dropped, and like I'm excited to see what else you got.
Oh shoot, you said that. Oh crap, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for a second there I was like, oh shoot, was I not supposed to say, like, okay, just cut this like completely?
No, it's fun. It's fun. Because music is such an amazing thing, and like you have to understand, like, you can't be a music video producer and not make music. Like, to me, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, there are some of them out there, but it's just like, how the heck do you make music videos and not make music yourself?
Yeah.
So, it makes you more marketable if you're able to make music and people, because you can actually relate with them. And then when they talk to you about their music, and then you can, the director, you're going to talk to them, be like, bro, I know what we can do with this. Holy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So.
Exactly. But yeah,
man, thank you for listening, man. I appreciate it, man. That really touched me hard. It made me nervous a bit because you said that. I was like, oh shoot, he actually heard my track.
Yeah. No, I got you. When you told me about it, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to listen to this now. I made sure to do it first thing.
Ah, man, I really appreciate that. But yeah, man, I hope you have a good day. And what do you want to do now that everything's going to green?
I want to travel. Like this summer, I had so many plans, you know, to come out and get to work with you out in Pittsburgh, go back down to Tennessee. I wanted to go out west, see some family, you know, try to book some shows. I had some shows lined up, potentially like Summerfest in Wisconsin. And just a lot of that got kiboshed. So now that that's opened up, I'd like to get back to trying to salvage 2020 with traveling.
Dude, if we work together again, you're probably going to poop your pants.
I'm excited to see it. Like, I'm excited to see what you can come up with that.
Oh my God, man. So yeah, everybody's having a good day, man. The sun is shining, no more rain. Okay, maybe there might be a little bit of rain. but no more rain. And because you never, at least over here, like you never know, like the weather over here is bipolar, so who knows. But yeah, now we can go outside again. We don't have to wear masks at certain places, at least not that much anymore, which I cannot wait and be free and travel again, man. Oh my gosh, so hyped. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Get rid of these masks, please.
I know, man. I swear to you, man, I was about to whip out the Jason mask and be like, you know what? You know what? I'm just going to go Friday 13th today.
Yeah, I'm committing full way here.
Dude, no, kid you not, there was a group of kids and one of the kids had a freaking watermelon as a mask.
What? Like, I know. What do you do when you see that? Like, I mean, you just have to laugh. Like,
it's like, oh, you know, coronavirus, the corona has messed him up. He's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm walking outside with a watermelon. Heck, I might go without clothes on too. Okay, you don't give up. Obviously. They won't know who I am. I got a watermelon on my face, so it's all good.
Yeah, go on with your bad self.
Yeah, man. But, dude, thank you so much for being on the show today, and it was fun talking about the show with you, and I wish you the best now that everything's going to green, man. So, power to you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. And that's all for today's show, and until next time.